104.4 in the VAR and 107.2 in Ekurhuleni. Now we're talking.
All right, now joining us on the line is Dr. Rolf Botha, who is an economist and author of this index. That's the Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index. And that's really taking a look at the resilience of our finances within our households. Dr. Botha, good evening to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good evening.
All right, Dr. Botha, let's talk about the latest index that you are seeing right now and really what it's reflecting, the overall picture about the state of South Africa's households.
Yes, well, it's not great facts because the year-on-year real increase in the index was in fact negative by minus 0.2, the change, which is for all practical intents and purposes zero. There was a small increase, not 0.6% quarter-on-quarter. And what's interesting, I believe, is that if you look at the third quarter of 2019, the last comparable quarter before the COVID pandemic hit us, we have the changes is zero. So we have fully recovered from that pandemic. There are sectors of the economy that have more than recovered, that have gone into growth mode, retail, wholesale, manufacturing in South Africa. But there are sectors, of course, that are still lagging, like tourism, etc. And what this tells us is that we are sort of more or less geared for growth in the next year or two. But, of course, there's this dark cloud, very dark cloud hanging above us, and that is the energy crisis.
I'm very actually keen then to find out really how that load shedding impacts our response to shocks and economic factors and really the resilience, Dr. Botha, of the South African citizen.
Well, this is about financial resilience. So what? There are two forces at play here for your median household, and assuming that many of them are self-employed as well. So if you get hit by this type of load shedding and you want to stay in business, then you're going to have to work different hours, firstly. Secondly, you're going to have to spend some money either on solar or on maybe a range of inverters. One or two inverters, depending on your needs, to stay in business. Obviously, that raises your costs. And this is not good for inflation. There is another force at play, and that is that you really get fed up with this, and you are prepared to sacrifice turnover. But what has happened in the third quarter in South Africa is that employment in the private sector has increased by 5.1%. And the total household disposable income in South Africa has increased by 4.3% in real terms to an all-time record high. So these are very encouraging signs. It tells you that many South Africans are making a plan. We're trying to get beyond the gross inefficiencies and incompetence of the Department of Energy in this country.
I'm actually keen then to speak a little bit more about this disposable income amount. You said that's increased by 4.3%. In a high inflation environment and in a high interest rate environment, is this disposable income eroded, or are South Africans able to really realize this gain?
Well, obviously, inflation erodes your revenue unless you supplement your revenue by other sources. The figures that I've mentioned are all have all been adjusted for inflation. And it tells you that there's a very strong entrepreneurial income stream in South Africa and multiple sources of revenue. I think that is the secret to the success of many self-employed people, where you have a little bit of investment income. Maybe you're renting out a room in your house or a little cottage that you've built, whatever the case might be. And obviously, you try to be as diversified as possible. If I just think of a firm that is not actually a small firm at all, it's a listed company, Afrimat, they have diversified. They've actually listed under the construction sector, but they've diversified into mining and now into rare earths. It gives them income streams from other sectors. And I think that is the secret, and that's one of the reasons why this index, the Altron index, is doing quite well.
I actually have a WhatsApp message here from somebody whose name isn't here, Dr. Botha, but what they'd like to find out from you is, what do you think about inflation and whether inflation now, I mean, today's read, and what you think about the outlook then with regards to our ability to be resilient?
Well, today's reading of the inflation rate is marginally positive, if we can put it that way. If we assume that it has peaked, and if you look at the main reason for higher global inflation since last year, it is the increase of 800% in freight shipping costs globally. That was the main reason, not the oil price or the fuel price. It was the cost of getting oil and fuel from Jeddah to Cape Town Harbor and then to distribute that. That was the main reason. I must just tell the listeners that I would really like to do, to find out whether the Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee can explain to us how increasing the cost of credit in South Africa, which makes it more difficult for households to repay their bonds, how that will bring down the freight shipping costs. Because higher interest rates only have an impact when you have demand inflation in your economy. Mm. We do not have demand inflation. We have cost push inflation, as it's called in this country. But certainly, if if you look at the Altron index, if inflation was 2 percentage points lower, then the index would almost automatically have been positive instead of -0.2 negative. So inflation is bad. It's bad for an economy. But if there's nothing you can do about it, it's out of your control because of a temporary weakness of your currency, or as I've said, because of supply side constraints, which are still slowly but surely evaporating due to the COVID pandemic, then you mustn't punish the economy further.
You know, I'm actually very keen to speak a little bit about what you mentioned now, Dr. Botha, because then what you really are speaking about is that balance also between growth, you know, and just security for the ordinary South Africa and this inflation. Now, I think throughout of 2020, we all asked the question, is the raising of interest rates the appropriate, you know, remedy for the inflation that we're seeing? And it became clear that throughout the world, all central banks agreed that if you just increase interest rates for long enough, this inflation figure will immediately come at bay. But then we are obviously not technical, most of us, and we aren't economists, and we don't know if in the economics handbook there are other tools that could have been used to really curb inflation, especially in South Africa, an economy that has not been able to grow for quite a while.
Yes, I agree with you. The point is just that I believe, and I'm in good company here, because at least one Nobel economics winner, Joseph Stiglitz, agrees with me that central banks have lost the plot. They've got it all wrong. The nature of the current inflation globally, which, by the way, has peaked in most countries, and most notably, of course, the United States, the nature of this inflation is such that monetary policy can't do anything about it. So it's really silly. If you look at the Reserve Bank's mission statement, certainly it includes trying to keep prices and inflation in check, price increases. But there's a second leg to that, and that is to do their utmost to ensure that there is growth and employment creation. And it is really as if they've lost sight of that. There was this brief interlude during COVID when they brought down the repo rate quite dramatically. They didn't have a choice. But why they had to increase it so sharply in the latter half of last year is absolutely beyond me. There is no economic theory that justifies the Reserve Bank's current monetary policy.
Sure, and I think that's definitely a debate that we'll continue to be having throughout the year, Dr. Botha, simply because, you know, as you're saying, the cost of debt has increased. And South Africa actually is a country where consumers are held up by quite a bit of debt, whether it's buying a home or buying a car or just getting through a normal month. Now, another thing this index does reveal is that the jobs number grew. Just speak to us a little bit more about that, and really also, well, this is reflective of the numbers we're seeing out of Stats SA, but also the things that might be happening right in this economy that are allowing these jobs to either, you know, be created, or at least people being rehired.
Yes, it's not all doom and gloom. Obviously, the biggest single problem that we have, I don't think this is debatable, is electricity. And if President Ramaphosa is true to his word to allow the private sector the maximum possible input into finding solutions, which in a medium term, there's only one solution, and that is solar photovoltaic projects. And they don't all have to be in the Northern Cape. They cannot be all be in the Northern Cape where the sun shines just about all the time, unless it's a nightfall, because there are not enough transmission lines and there are not enough substations. The good news is that the sun shines all over the country, quite frankly. There may be one or two spots. I like to believe they're in Newlands next to Table Mountain where the sun doesn't shine too much. But if, in most instances, these larger solar photovoltaic projects should be built fairly close to the transmission lines. In Mpumalanga, there's a lot of potential for that. If the private sector becomes involved, then we could see a bit of light in the tunnel within the next 6 to 12 months. And then there's the issue about the diesel, which I'm not 100% sure of my facts, but to the best of my knowledge, government has become very stingy in terms of not allowing Eskom some financial leeway to purchase diesel, because if those diesel generators can run at full capacity, even if it's only for a couple of months, then we can go right back to stage two. So there are options as far as that is concerned. But if you look at manufacturing sector, in November, all-time record high manufacturing sales. Our factories are so productive, 288 billion rand in 1 month. And that's also as a result of some manufacturing sectors being major exporters, which is really good news. And that has helped us to have one of the strongest balance of payments in the world today.
Yeah, well, and then, and before I let you go, Dr. Bertha, let's talk then about the outlook for 2023 for this resilience index. What are you expecting the next few reads to look like? Especially because you do emphasize that it is not all doom and gloom. And I'm glad we are having that conversation, that it's not all bad, even though, you know, many of us feel like it is.
Yes, I think second on my list of things to do for government is, of course, to fix the roads. Outside of the Western Cape, where they've apparently mastered the art of fixing a pothole, which is really good news. But the Altron FinTech Index is bound to go to a new record high in the fourth quarter of this year, and the reasons are very easy to find. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas shopping, Christmas bonuses being paid to a workforce that has swelled in the first 9 months of last year by more than 1 million formal sector jobs. So this is really looking good. And some of our indicators like unit trust assets, which have declined year on year because of the global equity market crunch due to US interest rates going higher, that has already bounced back. But in the first quarter of this year, I'm a pretty optimistic person, but the index will definitely take a dip because of the load shedding and the general mood in the country, which is not conducive to expansion.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Rolf Botha, who is an economist and author of this index. That's the Altron FinTech Household Financial Resilience Index.
We know how busy your workdays can be. That's why choosing what to wear for work should be one less job to worry.